Hello, welcome back to another Muscle and Hustle podcast. I'm back home. Tony's away.
And I'm in Galway, and then I'll be back for next week, and then I'm going to be in Spain for the foreseeable. Thanks to everyone who's messaged about the podcast being good lately. I actually felt like from an inside out perspective is probably the better way. I actually felt like our quality was very heavy beforehand. It's got very light, and I don't know where this week's going to go. I didn't know. Did you have any topics, Mickey?
We put up a question box about an hour ago, and we got a few questions actually. Well, shout to Owen McCabe, first of all. Says he loved last week's podcast. A few people's touched on last week's podcast about traveling and being abroad and different stuff.
Interesting, because I sometimes think like they're not the ones where you're trying to dive in too much to value. Do you know? Sometimes I come in and be like, right, ready to give a big value impact.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
Sometimes people are like, I would get it too when I listen to some podcasts. Sometimes you're ready for something heavy, and other times you don't want something heavy, but you want something that's constructive and not like, you know.
Yes.
I would listen to a lot of podcasts, and sometimes I just need to put on like comedians, I need to put on Colin Geddes, I need to put on somebody because I just can't physically fucking, you know, take on something. Or I'll listen to a real lunatic on Rogan's podcast, but then there's other times where I want, you know, my brain's ready to soak up someone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes as well you get the gold when you're not looking at it all the time, because do you ever notice like you're looking for a piece of information, you'll almost get it off anything because you'll relate it back to yourself, whereas sometimes it's not the right piece. Like, you know, you listen to podcasts, but yeah. Like, I relate so much to this, but it's just because you're viewing it through your perception, so everything relates to you because you're listening, versus sometimes whenever you're just plotting away, listening along, you actually get the real goal because you look at it a little bit differently rather than going looking for the answer. It's like when you buy a certain book,
yeah,
it gives you a certain answer. You've already went looking for that specific answer, whereas sometimes when you're just recommended a book, like I got recommended, Conliff recommended John Wooden,
yeah,
Observations on and off the court to me. And it's just a book about being a good man, a good person, but I didn't even know what the fuck it was about. But it was just a very insightful read because I didn't go in looking to sort something. Do you know the way pick up a book for self-development? You're picking up Robin Sharma, the 5 a.m. club. You're talking about morning routine. You're already looking at.
Yeah, you're looking. And the other thing is too, you're almost saying, you're
reconfirming beliefs to an extent.
Exactly. Like you're almost going, that you have the secret to it. And then the next person you read that they have the 4:05 a.m. start, and you're like, well, that extra 5 minutes. You know, it's like what we talked about a few weeks ago is like, you know, you can have loads of gurus that you look up to and you take, but not everything everyone does is perfect or perfect for you. It's like the 5 a.m. thing would never work for me. Would never work for me, but I can see how it works for people.
Yeah, whereas like, for example, like getting up super early is like the pivotal thing in my day. Like
yeah.
Getting up at like 6 a.m. is such a vital part of my life at the minute.
Yeah, I've been getting up actually quite early.
Your job's different.
I know. I started in Sydney, started getting up quite early. And you know what? I'm struggling now I'm getting my stuff done earlier in the day, which is what I wanted. But
yeah,
now I'm struggling with procrastinating the rest of the day, or like almost feeling that I'm doing less. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I like being busy, but then I don't want to I've got up early to get my stuff out of the way so then I could, you know, have more time to do shit. And now I have almost too much time to do shit, and I feel like I should do more work, but I know that...
You need to go to bed or something.
That's the sort of thing. Or I'm watching shit on Netflix, or I'm deciding I'm going to watch Game of Thrones.
Sometimes you fall into that, like, I call it the procrastination cycle, where you procrastinate, you do work, right? And then eventually what happens is you procrastinate, and then you feel guilty, and you end up doing more work, but then the work's shit quality, so you feel more guilty, so you do more quality, you do more work, but it's still shit quality. Whereas when you start procrastinating, sometimes the best thing to actually do is just go, I'm procrastinating, either try to get back into work, but I think the best thing is usually take a break.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
sometimes your energy is just low. Like if you notice you were in flow and then now you're on your phone and you try to get back into flow and you're not getting it. Sometimes just like a complete reset where you get up and walk is usually sometimes better. Or if you have, I don't know if anybody does this, but rituals for like certain flow states is very important. So for example, like when I try and think of content ideas, I always, always go to a cafe, never at home. Whenever I'm trying or walk and go to a cafe, that's two things. Whenever I'm trying to get into flow for like programming or a computer, like something that doesn't requires me to be steady. I put on deep house, non-vocal music. Whenever I'm doing certain other tasks, I do specific like rituals. I do them in certain rooms, do them at certain times because it almost programs you into that. Whereas I feel like if you're just winging things together, you've no timers, you've no workflow. Like trust me, anybody that really wants to study or learn or work hard, just remove the lyrics from your songs. Play a Disney guitar, deep house with no vocals, or I listen to a lot of sax with no vocals. And I'm not joking; it fucking works. Or classical.
Classicals. Like there's MMA fighters that would train the classical music, like jiu-jitsu boys, because it like gets your brain really going. Because it doesn't, unless you're like massively into classical music, you don't really know where it's going.
100%. I really enjoy Mozart. I enjoy opera too. Like, but like I could listen to Bocelli or you know, really fucking. Did you see him? Did you see his performance at the King's Coronation or no?
No, I didn't see him. I didn't see any.
Tempted to go see him in New York a while back. I've just got a fetish for him. He's so good. Like he's just fucking. He's the king. Like.
Well, I'm the same with Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer is very good. Anybody that hasn't been, cheap date, good wee date, like night out, is we went to the candlelight, me and Ryan went to the candlelight Hans Zimmer thing. Do you know that was in St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast?
No.
Oh, you need to go to this. This is great. It's in Ulster Museum too. So they just play tracks from Hans Zimmer.
I didn't realize they did a Hans Zimmer. I know they do the candlelight thing. I didn't realize they did a Hans Zimmer.
A string quartet. Me and Ryan went. We went ages ago. String quartet. And Joan's class is seeing between the songs. She gives you like a little bit of lowdown. She done Batman. I don't want to ruin it, but like she done Batman Begins. And she was like, just so you're aware, Hans Zimmer and Christopher Nolan fell out during this because it took him a full 9 months to write. And whenever he wrote the original, Christopher Nolan hated it. And Joan, there was fights and stuff. And she's filling you in on these stories about it. And you're like, oh, that's Joe. It's very interesting, very intriguing.
Yeah, I went to his concert in Dublin before.
It was good. That'd be different, really.
When they did Interstellar, it was just fucking... Jesus Christ. I've never been in a... Like, you could hear a pin drop. Like, when it stopped, there was that silence where, once again, people were like, is there more? Those silence for like 10 seconds, and all of a sudden the place just erupted. It was spectacular, but yeah, that's the thing. It's I must actually remember that we the nighttime thing at the what where'd you say the Ulster Folk Museum?
It's called just type in candlelight.
I see an advert comes up all the time for it. I didn't realize it was a Hans Zimmer one. I'm gonna definitely look at that.
Hans Zimmer one, it worth it. I think it's like 12 quid, 15 quid or something. Absolute steal. And wee things like that are so easy. It's, do you know what as well? I do feel like a lot of the time people, especially in Ireland, like don't get me wrong, I'm moving away. I've got this one-way ticket to Spain, so I'll be on the road fully now. But I feel like a lot of people give Ireland such a bad name because they just sit at home or they give, there's nothing to do here. There's been no looking. Like, for example, on Tuesday, I goes, right, my birthday, Thursday. What do I want to do?
Your birthday today?
Yeah, my birthday today, yeah.
Happy birthday. What age are you?
Thank you, I'm 28.
Fuck, you fucking...
And I know. Hard paper.
Only 10 years between us.
And what do you call it? It fucking goes, right, well, I'm going out for dinner on my ones on Saturday. Really looking forward to it. And I was like, right, we'll do all the birthday stuff around then over the weekend. And they were like, yeah, because they're all quite busy on during the week. And I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to... I've always wanted to go to Galway. I was like, I'm going to go down. I'll shoot some content with the boys I know down there. I'll take a swim, I'll take a run, or whatever I want. I'll just go down and see. And you know what? Lovely, lovely, lovely place. Loads to do, cafes, just plodding around by myself. And I feel like a lot of people wait till they have a partner, or they wait till the right time, or they wait till they're away to do stuff like that. But like don't get me wrong, one of the days it rained there, but it was sunny today. It was beautiful walking around Galway, a completely different city, seaside town. Just relaxed, good fucking vibes. Like, and the thing is, you don't have to have someone. You don't have to have a partner. You don't have to have fucking loads of mates to go. And I feel like a lot of the time people wait for that. And then even at that, like, with Ireland, like, you can go to Dublin for the day, you can go to Portrush for the day, you can go anywhere around you, and it's within driving distance. Like, it's so handy. I decided on Tuesday, I booked this Airbnb Tuesday at 12 and left at 2 o'clock and just came. Do you know, it's just like, right, fuck it.
Yeah, like, that's what you want. That's the freedom. That's the sort of freedom that I love. Like,
I know obviously the work affects it, but you could do that though every weekend. You could do that. You could go carry one weekend, go with the next. I know it costs money, but
yeah, but it doesn't. You would just spend as much, except for the fact of the spend the night thing. You would spend as much farting about or a night out with the boys. Easily.
I think two or three nights cost me like £300 or something.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's the sort of stuff I like. Like, I used to go down every Wednesday when I was down doing my meetings in Oma. I used to head up to Bundoran after the meetings. I used to go to Foam Coffee in Bundoran. If you haven't tried it, it's unbelievable. And just used to chill out the whole day, do my work from Bundoran. And Bundoran to Oma is like 45 minutes maxly. And I just got into a ritual of doing that every Wednesday. Every Wednesday. I'll start doing it now again. When this foam only really opens from, it opens Thursday to Monday, but it starts opening all week now because the summer's starting. But there's something about that, just getting away and getting away for a few days, or getting away just for a day during the week or the weekend or Sunday, instead of, like, say all your friends are busy, or even your girlfriend or boyfriend's busy, and you're free on a Sunday. Instead of lying in the house doing nothing, just go and do something. Like, even if you don't physically do anything, but just, like, drive somewhere.
Right.
And like, go for a dander.
Like, yeah, like they were like, what are you going to do for your birthday and all if you're by yourself? And I got up this morning, drove into Salt Hill, took a walk to the Black Rock Cottage, got a cup of coffee, sat, watched Jumping In, done my own wee thing, done a wee bit of work, then just started doing like almost a cafe fucking pub crawl. And it was great, relaxing, like hard to beat. Whereas like people are stressed because they're like, oh, I need to be doing X, Y, or Z. Sometimes like just enjoying relaxing is loads. And yeah, it's one of the things where like taking it in, like actually enjoy it. Whereas I feel like a lot of the time people are trying to like make things better than they are. And then they ruin the free. It's like framing your expectations that you're going to be shredded in 12 weeks, and then you're not shredded, you're pissed. But if you go in with like, I'm just going to see what it's like.
Yeah.
You see, whenever you lower expectations, I'm not saying for everything, but you come in with that, like, anything is good, then you're always going to enjoy it. Like, if I came and sat down and mellowed out in the apartment and watched telly for fucking 3 nights, it is what it is. It's just, for me, I definitely think it's that sense of you're always seeing, like, on fucking Instagram, especially, like, people away and moving away, Dubai, Marbella. And I don't get me wrong, it's really the only reason, and this is me being straight, it's probably just the weather. It's just actually the sun.
Yeah.
Cons too, though. Like, for example, like when I move away here, I'm going for 2 months to start, but then I'm going to the States, so I'm not be home at all. Once I fly out on the 22nd of May, that's me. But like immediately, the only reason that I'd want to come home, family, Joe. So there is cons. There is, and a lot of people understand that they stay around for family as well. And then you have that trade off. I was chatting with somebody earlier. I was chatting with Paddy, and he was saying, Joe, about maybe going traveling, but then he was saying his ones are getting older, and it's interesting because like it's a weird reason to stay at home because yes, you want to spend the twilight, the end of the years with your ones. But like my mum always said this to me, and I found it very interesting. She was like, as she gets older, she was like, make sure you still do what you want, because she says she wasted years sitting watching her mum die almost. And I was like,
yeah, that's going to say
that. But yeah, very true.
It is very true. I watch my mum do it for her mum.
Like, yeah, while, like every, like, go to the nursing home every day.
No, not well. When she was, before she went in the nursing home, like my mum would have stayed with my granny 4 nights a week, maybe for 3 years, and then nursing home every day. And then I just watched it. And then when my granny's gone, there was that massive void that, you know, nobody knew what to do in that space. And I watched it happen with my second granny just coming up to 2 years ago as well, exact same thing. But yeah, I would, you know, that's kind of like when someone says stuff to me, like, I don't know if my ones are getting older or not, but that's like saying you're not going to drive your car because there's a lot of car accidents. You know what I mean? You're almost unless you're going to Australia, which is a full 24 hours to get home. If you're in Spain and something happens to the family, you know, you're never going to be able to like stop the thing from happening anyway, really and truthfully. So if you're in Spain, you could be home in 6 hours, like maximum. From the time something happens,
I think for a lot of people, it's not the if something happens, it's more like the time, like you,
yeah,
the time spent with the people. But it's one of the things where, see, for me, I find that when I spend time away from my ones, whenever I come back, or
yeah,
like, I value it more.
Value it more for yeah, that's the same.
It's a stoicism thing. Like remove your car for a week, and you'll really appreciate it. Like
remove carbs for a fucking week.
What?
Remove carbs for a week.
The car.
I know, but I'm saying even if you remove carbs for a week.
Remove them for longer than that. And I tell you what, nobody appreciates a good carb more than me now.
That's what I mean. Like, but it's like when people diet hard and you remove certain things and then when you give it back to them, you're like, Jesus, that tastes even better. But really, it tastes exactly the same as it was. It's just you're valuing it a lot more. And, you know, you maybe even slowing down eating it. Whereas before, you were just wolfing it because that's what everybody does with carbs. But I also think going back to the traveling and, you know, going down to Galway and all, I always say this, it's such a good sign when someone can go and do things on their own like that. Because loads of people go, oh, I can never do that on my own. And I always say to them, you need to ask questions of why, because that's not a good, you know, it's not a small thing. Like, see, if you can't do anything on your own, you need a group of people to do stuff. You need to really look at that yourself, because that's not a good thing. And you know, the sad reality of it is, see, when you're like, you have a big friends group in your teens, and the older you get, the smaller your friends group will get, because everybody's got their own shit going on, right? But there's always certain people that struggle really bad with that. They struggle really bad with that, and then they start jumping friends group to friends group to friends group to friends group. And everybody knows that person who runs about with people that's a lot younger than them, because they haven't been through that full cycle yet. But there's something, like, there's that air of confidence where if you can just go and do stuff on your own, and then when you go and do it with other people, it makes it even better, and you value groups. And you value, you know, a group setting, but you know, you'll never find out stuff about yourself if you do stuff in big groups all the time. Because the thing about traveling in groups, doing things in groups, you have to appease so many people. Whereas, as you said today, you got up, you went coffee shop hopping, and did bit here, bit there, and whatever. But if you were with a group of three other people, you'd have to kind of, you have three other personalities there that you have to appease. Whereas if you just go and do stuff on your own, you really find out stuff about yourself, and you'll find out that you're probably a lot smarter, a lot more independent, a lot stronger than you think. Like for instance, in Sydney, I don't know how much swerve people in Sydney the whole time I was there. I met a few friends, met some of the Irish ones last Thursday, bumped into a fella from Oma that I didn't even know lived in Sydney, hadn't seen him for 15 years, ended up out with him to 4 a.m. in a nightclub. But, like, I was swerving people because I wanted just to do my own thing and, like, do things at my pace. So, like, I scheduled, like, 4 or 5 days where I swerved everybody and then got back into the cycle of, you know, meeting everybody up again. But there is that thing that just, like, someone who can travel the world solo, like, what you're going to pretty much do. I know you're going to bounce in and out of friends and different stuff, but there's the confidence that brings you, you know, that you're, you know, so you decide when you go to the airport, you decide what flight you're getting, you decide how you're getting to the airport, you decide where you're staying, you decide where you're eating, you know, and it's all
pros
on
and cons, do you know what I mean?
It's all on you. It does get lonely at times, but
you can also feel like your experiences are heightened with other people. Like, I really enjoy going out for food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's different. You know, that sort of thing would be different, but I mean, like, the adventure.
But at the same time, yeah, like, why wait?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, definitely. It's definitely, I'm definitely going to do more adventures this year anyway.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things where, like, a lot of people wait until New Year's and then make resolutions and the wait for it. And it, the thing is, time just goes so, so fast. Like when you think about it, like you are literally day by day just getting closer to the grave, and there's people waiting for the right time, waiting for next summer, waiting for a sunny day, waiting for this, waiting for that. And the thing is, you honestly, you don't even know how long you're going to get. And people are so sure that they're going to get, my dad always says it, 3 scores in a 10, which is 70, you know. And like people are thinking, nah, I live way longer than 70. Like most people live way, way longer. Like there's people listening to this podcast right now, and this sounds terrible, and they're 30 and they'll be dead by 45, they'll be dead by 60, they'll be dead by 50.
Yeah.
Like it's just luck of the draw. Same with us. Like you could be listening to this week, I could be dead next week, or Mickey could be dead. There's you do not know, and you think, ah, I don't know about that. But like there is people listening to this right now that will take cancer. There's people listening right this that get hit by a car. There's people that'll get depressed. There is people that will get slapped every direction. Yeah. There's somebody that'll live to fucking 100. But the thing is, too many people are reliant on the fact that there's another day.
Well, just something that actually did happen. If someone had told you 5 years ago, in 2 years' time, we're going to lock you in your houses for almost 2 years, you'd have fucking laughed. You'd have laughed your head off. Like, you know, what are you on about? We'll let you out twice a day to go for a walk. How about that? And you would have said, no, what film's that? But they're like years now that, you know, there's a lot of people would love them years back, you know. You just don't know, as you said, you don't know what's around the bend. I'm getting a bit morbid here, but you literally don't. And like, as old people will always tell you when you chat them, like, that's where you get so much wisdom chatting to old boys. Like, they'll tell you, do stuff now while you can, while you're fit and healthy.
There's a calmness too whenever you're talking to somebody older. Like, I love talking about that because, yeah, like, you get, like, don't get me wrong, there's certain things I'm sure you stress about, but there's just such a calmness whenever you talk to somebody that's older in terms of, like, they've been around the block, they know what's important. And, like, every time I look at that, like, study of, like, what was the 6 biggest regrets when people are on their deathbed, and, like, number one is always, I work too much.
Yeah.
Like, that is such an interesting one. Second one is, I wish I'd spent more time with friends and family. Like, this, like, and the funny thing is, everybody knows this, and yet they don't do it. Their value, like, your actions need to reflect your values. Like, for a long time, I was a hypocrite. Like, I was like, family is my biggest value. Impacting people's lives was, and all I was doing was chasing following and money. And that doesn't, the thing is, you're telling yourself, these are my values, but your actions actually need to reflect them. And then you realize whenever you do let your actions reflect your values, you feel far more content. And that's one of the reasons why, like, example, my dad's biggest value is family, but everything he does is for family. Yeah. So that's why he's very content. And that's why, like, for example, like, I'm going to Spain now on the 22nd, and I was like, how can I make this? Like, I would love to have my ones. And I was like, right, fuck it. I just booked them loads of flights. So they're coming out in June for 5 nights, and they're coming out for 10 nights in July. I'm like,
very good.
I was like, great. That, Joe, that gives me absolutely everything. And yes, does it cost money? Yes, of course, it costs a fucking fortune. The thing is, what do I value more, my family or the money? My family.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things where, yes, not everybody has that thing, but at the same time, it's really weighing that up. It's just, it's a very interesting thought process. Like, I think a lot of people miss the forest for the trees with stuff like this.
Yeah, but it's also, it also means that the work that you did and the hard work that you did to get to that point where you can do that for your family, it's even more sweet. Because that same money you could just blow, that same money you could blow in a fucking car or a stupid trip to Miami, or, you know, you could blow it on something that's, you know, great, but it's not what you value.
Well, a really good example is me and Paddy, we were actually talking about this earlier. For anybody that doesn't know, it's PDK Fitness. He's a good friend. He's down here. Lovely fella. We were talking about this earlier, and he was saying, for example, like, whenever I fly, do I fly business? And I said, I really struggle to pay for it, not because I can't afford it, but because of what else I can do with that money. Like, for example, see, for me to fly business class to Dubai and back, right? If you don't upgrade in the spot and get lucky with, like, a cheap knock-on,
yeah,
it's about £400 for a flight to Dubai, right? It's about £2,400 for a business class flight. That's one way. So, right, it would cost me £5,000 to fly to Dubai, or £800, right? Now, what I do is I will take that four and go, that'll pay for my entire family to come out, stay 15 nights, and then that rejuvenates me and makes me feel better. Versus sometimes people spend money on the wrong things. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with flying, but, like, you do, it's your money, you do whatever the fuck you want with it. It's like, if you want to buy a nice car and you're into cars, buy the nice car. Yeah. That's a smart move for you. You value that. you value the experience, you get, go for it. But there's also things where, like, for me, I can't do that. And it makes it so much sweeter when I'm like, that's what I'm getting off this. Hey, like, I always find, see, when you, and people that struggle with this will, it will understand. See, when you give, you get.
Yeah.
You see where you give property to the people that look after you. See, whenever my world comes tumbling down, family is all I have. And see, looking after them, it gives me more than anything else. And it's such a weird thing to say, but you will know this. Like, whenever you do something for somebody, and it's not like you're doing it to get something back, even though you do, you get joy back. See, when you properly give, there is a very few feelings that feel as good whenever you do that for people. Like, I remember going around, like, I remember I wrote this on my Instagram. My mom, we used to have to get out of the car whenever I was younger, and I used to have to push start my mom's car every day on the way to school. So we used to pick up my sister after I was in school, because she got out later in secondary school. And I used to have to get out, fat wee fuck, and push the car to start it.
Yeah.
And it was a pure bit banger of thing, but I didn't realize. My mom used to laugh and we used to joke, and it never really affected me until I hit a wee bit older and I realized, like, holy fuck, like, what the fuck. So then when my mom's car conked out just before Christmas, I was like, no. I was like, you're getting a brand new car, not a mission. I didn't even say it to her. I just went, just literally went and got it. But it was one of the things of, see, it's not like brag. It's one of the things where I could have went and got like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or whatever for myself and put that £400 a month that I pay for a car into that. Plus mine would probably bring me up towards something like that. Do you want my Audi in that? It'd bring me up to like £900,000 a month payment. So I would have got it.
Yeah.
But like, well, what brings me deep down in 5 years, knowing that my mum has had a car, she's not got the issues, she raised me right, or the fact that I get to fuel my ego, and then you're sort of going down vanity metrics and you're going down, you're almost feeding the wrong things, and then that feeds you down a path. I find that in the long run will actually hinder you, because it's not where you really are, who you really want to be. And I think you can get lost so easy in that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do. They do get lost, and they get lost.
I've been lost before. Do you know, I think I've been very lost at times. I feel like you get lost and you pull yourself back, and you're always evolving as a person. Like, you're not the same person you were 3 years ago. Your values can change. Your mindset can change. So the thing is, it's one of the things where I do believe people do change properly in depth.
Well, they do. And I think people, like, I've noticed it a lot more lately, I think, because a lot of people are actually, they're more open to listening to other people's views on things at the moment. They're open to self-development. I think I see a lot of people evolving now at the minute. Like, I see a lot of people, you know, becoming, like, people that would have been vain and stuff and just, like, normal, like, run-of-the-mill, just show pony fellas that I would have known, but they're becoming actually really thoughtful human beings. And I think that's because we're at an age now where people are consuming more, and they've realized that, you know, that you can, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of smart people out there saying a lot of good stuff. And if you're not closed off, you can learn a lot from other people. And absolutely. I think people at the minute are on a real, like, consumption mode where they're ready to hear stuff. And I think that's why particularly like this podcast has been quite successful of late, and it keeps charting of late, because we're not coming from a sales point of view. We're coming from two fellas that went through pitfalls and talks openly about pitfalls and talks openly about mistakes and we're not trying to sell you a fucking formula that's going to change your life. No, we're not trying to sell you a book. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're just like two lads shooting the shit, talking. And it's always been like that from this. You know, it's always just been us talking from, you know, we're not giving you, you know, this isn't the end. You know, this isn't it. You know, we're telling you to actively go out and listen to other people. You know, because there's so much good content out there, and there is so many good people out there that's trying to help people as well. I know it's hard sometimes where you look at like some influencers on Instagram, or whatever, and there's always a salesy thing, or you're listening to somebody on YouTube, and they stop the video halfway through and go, "You're buying their supplements." That doesn't mean what they're saying isn't good stuff. It just means that that's their full time job and they need paid. You know, it doesn't devalue what they're saying by that much. If you it only devalues if you can't. If it doesn't work for you, you know what I mean? Like people, what do you call him, Andrew, whatever your boy's name was, like, he's a moron. He's mad, but there's someone's bound. He's bound to have helped somebody. You know, something he said about like men valuing themselves is bound to have helped someone. Or a Conor McGregor motivational thing. The man is insane, but I'm sure his motivation and the way he speaks and where he came from being a plumber on the dole to where he is now, if that can't motivate someone, especially in the MMA world, like Paul Hughes or like Kieran Loughran, who won the world championship last week, you know, you can get your motivation from anybody, be it a family member, be it the most successful person in your town, be it a school teacher, or be it somebody online on the internet that you don't even know who what their name is, you just heard them talking. You know, remember that mad, there was a sports video years ago, and there was a guy talking on it that got really viral years ago. You'd know it if I could remember what it was about. He was a black American football coach, and he was talking to like that. It was a boy made it as a reel of him training American football. Do you remember that video?
No.
And it went like a mad viral, and every GA team in the country was just churning out that video to all the players all the time. But like nobody knew the boy's name for years because the guy who was talking wasn't a big name. He is now, but for years and years he was just like that boy. He was just a voice because he wasn't in the video, and then now he's a massive name. But I don't know where I was going with that. Right, we'll get into these questions. Tips. Okay. Well, here, well, may as well. This is one that we kind of half answered. Where do you boys get your motivation from?
I don't.
You don't. Family.
No, so motivation's a fucking myth. It's a little wank. There's discipline.
There's another tips and tricks to help being more disciplined. So you could put them together.
Motivation is for boys. Commitment is for men. Doing what you say you do, no matter how you feel. I am no more motivated to stick to my dad now the shows are done. I can't be fucked cooking veg. I can't be fucked sticking to my plan. It's all out of balls.
Yeah.
But do I want the short-term pleasure of, like, we shot a video today and we bought 10 Subways and 12 cookies. Would love nothing more than the wee bit of them meatball marianas and them cookies. But see, this short-term pleasure, it's not worth the long-term pain. And the thing is, people be like, oh, the motivation is the gym. See how shit it feels to go on holidays and feel like a fat cunt.
Well, I was about to, is that not motivation?
That's what I mean, though. Like in my sense, it is and it isn't. It is because you're tricking yourself. But I feel like motivation, people get confused. Like motivation is like how you get up off the couch and think about it. Whereas like if I turn around to you and say, oh, how are you going to feel on the holidays? You're almost going a deeper psychological. It's like people who watch motivational videos to get motivated, like they don't last. That's wank.
No,
a little bit of petrol on a fire. It's going to eventually go out.
Yeah. I like good motivational video, but
yeah, everybody knows they're awesome. But if you're relaxed,
but then there's some of them give me the absolute fucking ick too, and have the opposite.
Jim Rohn was like the very first motivational so-called speaker, and he always criticized the word motivational. And he says this, and this is how you stay motivated. This is how you stay disciplined. If the why is big enough, the how is easy. If it means enough to you, you will do it. If not, it doesn't matter enough. And then you need to stop being hard on yourself. Like, if you really want to be in shape, you'd be in shape. Otherwise, something else matters to you more, which is spending time going for family meals, the pints in the weekend, whatever it is. That matters more to you. That's why you're doing it. So there's nothing wrong with that. But the frustration for people is whenever they tell themselves they want to get in shape, but their habits, their routines, their behaviors, their actual values don't align with that. And then they get frustrated because they're not getting in shape, but you're not acting like you want to. You're not going on. It's not your highest priority. So for me, it's one of the things of you need to realize that it needs to be a goal. It needs to be set. It needs to be not focusing on motivation. You need to be focused on discipline. And discipline only comes through doing small tasks daily that build it. So like, for example, like I haven't missed a gym session like fucking 7 years or something now. Yeah. And I don't really miss calories really. Like I just don't. It's not like I'm a born cunt. It's just literally non-negotiable.
It's ingrained.
You build habits, you build routines, and then eventually it just becomes part of life. So I feel like it's like a muscle. The more you work it and the more you get disciplined out of it. Like me getting up at 6 a.m. used to be like, you hear people say it like, oh, I'm a night owl. you're not night out. That's just your routine. That's just your habits. And people go, oh, but there's studies and this and that. I used to stay up to 5 a.m. playing Call of Duty every single night whenever I was a teenager. Used to stay up off my banger all day, all night. Used to drink on weekends. Used to stay up super late. Used to watch Netflix at 1 and 2 a.m. Say I'm going to bed at 10, fucking up to 2 a.m. watching series. I'd wake up at 10, 9, 8, wrecked. Now, I just got up at 6 for months upon months upon months. And see, whenever I get up in the morning, I wake up at 5:55 every morning now, no alarm. It's just routine and habits. It is that simple. But the problem is people don't like that. They're looking at secret gold. The goal is you just fucking, you do it regardless of how you feel. That's what a real fucking, I was going to say man, but that's what you really do if you want to get there. Like,
well, that's what discipline is. It's ingrained in you. Like, the thing, like, everybody is looking for the secret sauce and the secret way out and the easy way out.
The thing is, you build discipline. You don't just magically have it.
Aye, you build it and you earn it. And it probably starts off with being accountable to yourself.
It flows in other areas of your life too. Like, if you can get yourself in good shape and you're disciplined with your diet, your sleep, your training, you will be disciplined and the work ethic can flow into you. This is the exact reason I said it flows into your business, your relationships. Whenever you build discipline and work ethic, you will succeed at anything far more likely. Like, you're going to work at your relationships. You're going to work on yourself. You're going to work on that business. You're going to work on whatever needs done in work, in your career. And you notice all of a sudden the work ethic and the discipline actually helps you thrive in every aspect.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree with that.
What other questions is there?
What do you guys make of Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness? I actually have listened to a few of his podcasts. Very good.
I know who the fuck that is.
You've definitely heard someone's podcast. Lewis Howes, Howes. Very good, actually. He's very big. He must be. Well, he is a massive deal because the guest he's on is like the biggest of the biggest. Ask Mickey who will win, Derry or Armagh on Sunday. Armagh for Sam. I would say it'll be a draw.
I've never seen Lewis Howes before in my life.
Have you not? He's very, very good. You'd actually like. He's got a lot of good guests on it.
He's such a rectangle head.
He does, and he speaks like he's AI.
I have a pure square knopper, but Jesus, that is like fucking.
I think he was a professional American footballer. And now he's like, I don't know what the fuck he is, but he's a very fascinating character. Here's one. Do you think all stroke most influencers are fake natties or taking some sort of gear? I've nothing against it. I'm actually all for it. Would love to hear your take on it. It's just with their party lifestyle, how do they stay so lean all year round and always look in tip-top shape?
From the inside out perspective, like, for example, with me, you probably know I'm a bit of a meal prepper and stuff, but
you're not a real part. You know, I think he's like talking about the guys, like.
But that's going to be sort of towards the route I'm planning on going now, not with the.
But you're never going to be a massive binge drinker. Like, that's not you.
No, like, I'll have a couple of drinks and I'll have meals out, but a more relaxed lifestyle. I feel like for me, I'm going to go down the route. If you get razor lean first, you can build your calories up and then hold decent shape as you do that. So you can do it natural, but it's like everything. There's going to be outliers on each side. You're going to get people that literally do fuck all and take a little juice and smash stay in shape. And then you're going to get people that actually have that lifestyle, post about it, but everything else is so on the money off camera that they can sustain it. Like, a really good example is Mike Thurston's pretty fucking good at that.
I was going to say that he put a video out a while ago telling me how he does it, and he just said exactly what you said. You get absolutely shredded beyond belief, and then you'll, after a while, going through your summer part, you rebound slightly, but then you can hold it at a point where it's like you're still going to be probably in the best shape at the pool party, but you're going to be a million miles away from what you were 4 weeks prior because you were almost stage ready.
Best way to explain it is, now that I'm stage ready, I will build calories back up. And the problem is with staying that lean as well, people don't ever go lean enough that they can hold it. See, remember leanness, you finish your diet.
Yeah.
You will never hold that. That's not where you are. You will hold about 4 to 6 weeks back. So, like, if your cut was only 10 weeks, like you're only going to hold halfway through that a max, and that's if you're super strict. So for example, I'll be able to hold shoot condition now easily with high calories, build my calories up. As long as I don't go AWOL, I should be able to stay really, really lean, have a really good quality of life because I've done all the groundwork first. But it all comes down to what you do post that. In terms of like the fake natty stuff, it's really hard to call because that's so individualized. Like there is people out there obviously that
everybody thought that Matt Dole's fitness was
doesn't really though. Like don't get me wrong, the gear would obviously help, but it would only help you building muscle. And see this idea of like it would just keep you lean. Like if you're in a surplus and you're on juice, you'll still get fat. So it's one of these things where
you'll also hurt your kidneys. Like fuck if you're drinking too much.
Yeah, so it's one of them things where for me, like I believe it's like a mix. You're gonna have people, I think some people also like to sell themselves the idea of like, oh well, he's living that lifestyle, he's here, he has to be on the gear. Yeah. Versus sometimes it's not. Like
everything's a secret.
Like then people turn around and go, how long you train? I go 12 years. How long you tracking? About 9 to 10 years.
Yeah.
When's the last time you missed a gym session? Probably 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and then you're like, oh well, this starts to make sense. Well, that person can hold shape because just like one salad doesn't make you fat, one drink doesn't. But there is obviously if they're at it for months and months and months, and you're like, how the fuck is this cunt doing it? It can also be one of them things where you don't see, for example, like say you see an influencer go out for a bite to eat and a load of drinks every night.
Yeah.
They could just be having protein for breakfast and lunch and then starve themselves every day.
Well, I was going to say, I know that that's what the, from DJ and Ibiza, I would have been friendly with a lot of the girls who work at Ocean Beach and they don't eat a lot.
Yeah, like Mike Thurston makes a really good video. Like he shows his normal days of eating and then he shows, even whenever he goes out, he has like one meal out and he'll eyeball it. And he eyeballs it pretty efficiently and he'll call it. So like he knows he's going to a restaurant tonight. He'll be like, right, I'm going to a steak joint tonight. I'm probably just going to eat protein and a little tiny bit of it, protein and veg all day and then go to the meal. And he'll manage, because his calories are probably sitting around 3,000, you can manage to fit that in. Like I'm literally 10 days post show and I'm holding weight on 2,780 calories. So I'd probably be at 3,000 to hold weight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can easily turn around and go into fucking
McDonald's,
Black Rock Cottage tomorrow, get a flat white, get an acai bowl, come home, have a breakfast or have a lunch that's protein and veg, and then go out for a whack of pints and a dinner, and I would still hold weight.
Yeah. Yeah. So Thomas, TM Cycles does
too. I do believe there's a lot of liars too. Like there is, the fitness industry is full of bluffers. Like,
but yeah, TM Cycles talks a lot, like does that a lot when he goes out for dinner. Like he'll tell you what he's eating. He'll eat in the morning. He'll have something substantial in the morning, and that normally be him until he goes out in the evening. The other thing is too,
like I have meals off plan, and that's the way I work it. Like Joe's planning a 2,000 calorie meal off every week for me.
Yeah, if you're smart enough for your drinks too, like a vodka and soda is very little calories. And that's what a lot of them people drink. Vodka, soda, and lime is like, it's the drink. And it's very little calories. Now, if you're going to fucking go on a bender of Guinness and whatever else and Jaeger bombs, you would soon, and strawberry daiquiris will soon bounce the calories up a wee bit, but if you drink
your, I'm going to get a wee passion fruit daiquiri on Saturday night. That's
first. Where are you for Saturday night?
So Blend and Batch in Banbridge, the cafe, start opening late and they've got a liquor license and they're getting live music in. And now it is obviously a cafe, but my ones, we like they love the grub and
Blend. That's the place that has the queue, that has the big queue outside it all the time.
All the time. It's lovely, lovely grub. If you've never been, it's an absolute gem. And it's good prices, it's good staff, but the food's fucking cracking. It's one of them places, Joe, you go and you don't get a bad bite to eat. So,
yeah.
But my ones love it. Like, I turn around, my ones got wet and viewed a house for me, which I was laughing. So, they viewed a house in a different house for me in Lurgan, and I got the offer accepted on the day. And if they hadn't went that day, I wouldn't have got the offer accepted. So, I goes to them on the way home, look, get your lunch from me. I got a fucking card tap for fucking 70 quid. And I goes, what the fuck? And Sean and Mum, and I goes, what the fuck? And she goes, oh, well, Claire came and Claire wanted to try the milkshakes out. And I goes, what the fuck? And then she goes, oh, and Da heard. So Da wanted lunch and dinner out of it. So he got a burger and chip for lunch. And I goes, what the fuck? I was laughing balls off because I just goes,
class.
You turn around to Sonny and you go, take, like, you and Mum going out for lunch and you expect, 25 quid. 30 quid. Fucking 74 quid or something top in the car.
Taking,
no
takeaways and all for dinner.
Fucking takeaway for Dad for dinner. He got two burgers and two chips. I was like, fuck me.
That's clever.
I was laughing, like, But the food, they got burgers and they were unreal. So then they've started doing like a night menu. So I'm obviously food focused as fuck. But the way Joe's got me now is really nice. Like, for example, I'm on 2,770 calories. And the way I'll work Saturday is I'll not have 700 calories all day. What I'll do is I'll probably just have like protein and veg most of the day. And then I'll leave my last two meals and just have that. And that'll probably manage me somewhere around 600 calories over the week. And it brings that quality of life in. And yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're laughing.
Aye, that's where you want to be at.
I'm interested though, if anybody's got any good food recommendations, please send them through. I've only a couple of weeks left and then I'm gone. So I'm thinking Blending Batch, when of El Taquerio, is it? In El
Taquerito? La Taqueria. I'll bring you to La Taqueria. It's my favorite. Dude. It's my favorite restaurant in Belfast. Fucking on.
Everybody says that. What do you get? The beef one?
No, I like the fish. The fish one. It's amazing, but you have to have a margarita with it.
What sauce does it come with?
It
doesn't know La Taqueria. It does tacos, just so you know.
It's a authentic Mexican place. It's half owned by the people who own Moore and Seafood. It is phenomenal.
I've heard really good things.
It's literally phenomenal. It's
apparently they do beef tacos with like a bone broth step or something.
The beef tacos off the shin. And they make all their tacos in house. Everything's made in house.
And what's the fish covered in?
The fish is like a it's a battered. It's like lightly battered. It's got a pico de gallo on it. A bit of a spice. It's nice. It's very, very good.
A heavy thing, yeah.
No. Nothing in there is heavy. The only thing in there would be heavy would be the pratas. What is it? Pratas? It's like the potatoes with the sauce.
Rabbit or something.
The fish is very, like, it's a very light batter on it, and it's like, no, there's not a mad amount of fish on it. The beef would probably be one of the heavier ones.
Those killer. Like, anything fried is like flour, breadcrumbs, fucking fried oil. So like, you're fucking, it's
well,
so
it depends how small. If the meat is small inside it, it only needs flashed, really. So that stops it from like soaking up. It's like a chicken burger is different. It's like soaks up everything out of the fryer. But if something's done really fast,
fried chicken looks so nice.
There's nothing like a good chicken. I had Chick-fil-A in LA last.
Like cafe fish.
What?
Like cafe fish. I'm a big fan of it.
I live beside it, so I'm sick of myself of it, for fuck's sake.
They do really good chicken.
Well, the chicken burger meal would have been the go-to back in the day. Huh? I lived about three streets up from it.
Oh, fuck.
It was so expensive. Right? And the fucking
keep
cheese.
Going off topic at the end and going to fucking
Here's our last question. May as well get this one. I'm stuck in a very negative mindset. It's something I've always had. My old boy would be similar, and also my brothers. It's a kind of family thing. Any advice to get rid of it?
Environment. The reason you all have it is because somebody's got it and affected you, in my opinion. Sounds terrible.
I'm not even saying they won't even be listening to this, anyway, because I don't fucking really speak to them. My cousins, their family would be like that. Like, everything's the end of the world, and like every person in their family is like deadly negative about everything.
I cried my head. See, like, I remember I'll not say who, but like, I spent time with an individual, and like, no matter what, where we went, what we done, there's always issues. So like, for example, like, steak comes out, it's not cooked enough, right? If it is cooked enough, it's not big enough. If it is big enough, it's too dear. So there's always something where it's the drink isn't like, it just, whereas I'm very much like, oh, the drink's just okay, or like, the steak's just all right, but
it's
the drinks
are great. It's a mess. So fucking not everything lays perfectly.
No, but at the same time, find that, like, find what's good around you, or go, do you know what, that's not for me. Like, think of solutions as well. Like, can I order this? Can I order that? Environment dictates progress. Like, you, if they see only negative, then you want to go, right, they're being negative. How do I see the positive in this? How do I do this? Because if you listen to Mo Gadot, he's a neuroscientist. Yeah. This isn't a family thing. This is a behavior process thing. It's a thought process thing. For every one negative thought you have, you need 9 positives to then outweigh that, where you change your thought process. And if you can think of 9 positive ones repeatedly for months and months on end, or weeks, it rewires your neuroplasticity in the brain. So you eventually become more of a positive, more of a grateful person. But Only if you spend time, say for example, somebody turns around and goes, the food in this restaurant shit. Well, you go, well, we have a roof over our head. We can afford dinner. The drinks are nice. I'm with my family. And you start rhyming off all these, you naturally start to resensitize yourself to the way of thinking. Whereas the problem is most people don't, and then it shoots them in the foot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I can't really be around negative people. Like, everybody's got a bit of negative in them about something. But like, it's when you're negative about, like, if you go out with certain friends, we talk about our circles, where there's a person that's always negative. Like, every night you're out, they have to be negative about something. I witnessed it at the airport, leaving Washington. There was a group of girls flying, and the flight was delayed by like 15 minutes. It was fucking nothing. And the girl started just bitching to her friends about, oh, we're going to miss this, and we're going to miss that, and this and that. And the girls were like, chill out, we're about to fly to London, fly to Dublin to the best fucking 3 weeks of our life. No.
Yeah, right mindset.
And she was like, yeah, but fuck's sake, it's just going to keep getting delayed. And the girl was like, who cares? We're in Dublin for 3 weeks. And I was just that's fucking nuts. Like, it's just...
I don't believe you can. You see, that's the sort of thing where you're looking at golden nugget, whoever wrote that.
Aye.
And it's working at it.
But you know, I think this person knows that. Like, they've written the answer in the question.
Yeah, see, the only way you get out of that is by working at it daily.
And kind of almost trying to not do therapy for your family, but work on your family a wee bit. You know, kind of maybe raise the fucking... raise the idea of, hey guys, are we being a bit negative here? You know, it's like, you know, your family mightn't just know they're being negative. It might just be your family thing, but maybe try to be more positive in the house to see if that rubs off on them. But you seem to know the answer already. It's just, any advice would be, make sure you're being as positive as you can be, and work on yourself a bit, and maybe try to work on your alibi.
All you can do.
Right. Keep rating and reviewing, guys. Keep sharing on your stories. Hit us up with more topics. And we'll probably, if we do it, we probably may try to get a guest on next week.
Oh, never know.
Never know. Probably not.
Probably never. Oh, well, thank you for listening. Please share your story.
Yeah, we'll chat these next time. Good luck.
Good luck.